This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
This is the Broadway Boys Podcast through the Hockey Podcast Network, and we are back with Season 5, Episode 35, as the New York Rangers, on this lovely Sunday evening, January 28th, are sitting atop of the standings in the Metro Division by 2 points. They played one extra game. Things seem to be falling apart, but like we've said on previous podcasts, no one is taking this division and running with it. Maybe one team to be slightly worried about, but here we are, a lot to talk about. So I'll have to start the podcast off with Andy. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing all right. Yeah, I mean, the New York Rangers basically have limped across the halfway mark into the All-Star break, and somehow, despite their litany of issues and injuries and suspensions and scoring woes and defensive lapses, are still somehow first in the Metropolitan Division, which is pretty insane. This couldn't come at a better time for them. We have so much to talk about on this podcast. But yeah, I mean, I guess you can really just distill it and say the New York Rangers need, it seems like a lot of teams need this All-Star break. I don't know. I can't really think of one team other than maybe the LA Kings that need the All-Star break more than the New York Rangers.
Yeah, I mean, maybe the Philadelphia Flyers. You know, they've lost, what, 5 in a row now, and it's just, again, I don't know what to make of this league right now. I just feel like we're all kind of in limbo, and we need to get to the trade deadline, because that's when I can feel like I can confidently start judging in teams, and Rangers being probably, like, the number one team that is most likely to change, especially now with the news of Filipino missing the remainder of the season. So yeah, before we get into the Rangers, just your pulse of the league right now. I mean, do you feel like it's really up for grabs more than any other season? I mean, this season, I can't really like confidently say that, you know, I believe in X team,
Stanley Cup. Yeah, I would say other than right now, Edmonton is the hottest team in the league. They're one win away from tying the 93 Penguins record, or whatever year that team was, for most wins in a row. They're going for like 16, right? So, I mean, we've been saying forever McDavid will have a cup one day, so this could very well be the year. But obviously the Winnipeg Jets are also one of the best teams in the league. I think I trust them in terms of more in terms of their structure top to bottom, although they don't have the prolific scoring and obviously game breaking ability that Edmonton has with McDavid and Dreisaitl. But yeah, they obviously, those are the only two teams where I really think are strong, like in the West. The East, like you said, wide open. I don't know. I don't really trust no one. Yeah, I don't think there's any team in the East that's head and shoulders above everyone else. Obviously, you know, Boston's a little bit weaker this year, although they're still, you know, one of the best teams in the league, but they're definitely not, for as well coached they are, and they're just not as prolific as they were last year. You know, the Panthers look good, but they have their spotty performances too, you know. Obviously, the Rangers somehow have held on to their division. You've had a couple teams start to come on, like the Penguins, as of, you know, the last month or so. But they're still, you know, they're still trying to work their way into it. You have a lot of teams, really. You know, I think there was thought that the Devils could, even though for their injury woes, could somehow pull it off. But they still don't. Jack Hughes still hasn't started skating. Now, I believe, what, they're 6 points out of a playoff spot, although they have 2 games in hand, and it's just they're kind of slipping down the pack. You know, they still have the Penguins and the Islanders in front of them, who are both playing better, although granted the Islanders have played a couple more games. But Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I mean, so yeah, I mean, literally looking, there's, yeah, Boston is right now supposedly the class of the East with the most points. You know, the Rangers are third in the East behind Boston and the Panthers, which I would say was probably accurate, although the Hurricanes have come on strong after, you know, a rough start for them. They're actually one less game played than the New York Rangers, and if they win that game, they are tied. And I assume that the Canes would have, the Rangers would still have the win because they have, or no, would, I don't know, because tiebreaker's on, doesn't matter. But, you know, it's, they're literally a stone's throw ahead of the Canes right now. So, yeah, the East is pretty much a crapshoot. The West, I'm going to eat, despite not, you know, that how good the Avalanche have been, I still just don't think. Although, if they get Landeskog back, that could be pretty crazy, right? So, yeah, and you know, and Dallas could surprise people, and you know, in the Canucks. So, yes, there's a bunch of good teams in the West. I think the top of the West is better than the top of the East. But that being said, that doesn't mean all those teams are flawless by any means. The Canucks are right now number one in the West. I do not think the Vancouver Canucks are necessarily a better team than the Winnipeg Jets or the Dallas Stars.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think the West, I mean, it's the Wild West. I mean, for sure. I mean, if you look at the the top three teams in each division, you know, Vancouver, Vegas, and Edmonton. I think if you go into the playoffs right now, you know, coin flip on who comes out of that, you know, division. Colorado, Dallas, and Winnipeg in the Central. Again, another coin flip. I think it's just whether which team gets hot and which team, the only team I can confidently say that goaltending probably is the biggest factor is Winnipeg. Like, if Hellebuck plays bad, I just don't think they can compete with the other teams just because, you know, of the firepower they have. And then their wild card, man. It's so weird because, like, every time you start to believe in, you know, Seattle Kraken, you know, they were like, they had a 10-0 run, and then all of a sudden now they're 5-4-1. So, like, it's just been bad for them. Nashville, I feel like they're just Mr. 500. They're just humming along. I mean, they win hockey games, but they're just not consistent enough to really make a push. I hope they get in. I kind of like the Nashville Predators. And then the Blues, it's like off to a rough start. And then, you know, now they've won five in a row. They're feeling themselves a little bit. So, you know, they're going to make their push. And then, you know, LA Kings, obviously, we spoke about them before, off to a hot start like the New York Rangers. And they're floundering just as bad as we are, you know. And then, you know, my take on the East is that it's the Bruins, you know, it's the Bruins conference for sure. You know, I think the Panthers obviously have turned it on after a rough start. Carolina probably is the top team in the Metro, and it's probably not even close right now. The Rangers are still clinging on to that hot start that they had, but, you know, eventually will fall off because, as we'll get into it, I don't think this is going away anytime soon. This is not a lull in the season. This is what this team is, and we'll get into that. The one team that I'm surprised, having them play the Toronto Maple Leafs in the first round, you know, if you're the Carolina Hurricanes or the New York Rangers, God bless you. It's going to be tough. But yeah, again, I just don't see anybody like taking it and running away with it. I mean, it's an open division. You know, I'd be actually fearful for the Rangers to make the playoffs if like any other three teams were like playing good. It's just everyone stinks. I feel like. You know, you have the teams at the top, and then you have literally just a stinky East conference. So, should we get into it, Andy? Let's get it. You want to get into the New York Rangers?
Yeah, I guess we kind of have to.
This is, I know.
Should we? I guess we'll talk about the most important news of the day first, right? The New York Rangers today announced that following his setback 2 days ago at morning skate, Filip Hedl is going to miss the entirety of this season due to what they're still calling an upper body injury, but we all know to be concussion related symptoms. So apparently making his way back was on the I don't know if it's substantiated, but there was basically someone said that he was engaged in a basic light battle drill, and he stepped on either his stick or the stick of Jake Lecician, and he slipped and, you know, fell to the ice, and that might have triggered it. You know what I mean? So, it's absolutely brutal for Hedl. You know, he was working his way back. You were hoping it was going good. It sucks, man. It sucks for the team. It sucks for him. You just, honestly, at the end of the day, the human comes first. You hope that he's not going to be dealing with this stuff, that this doesn't end his career, but more importantly, this doesn't, you know, forever impact the quality of his life. You know what I mean? So just brutal news. He did put out a Instagram, a statement on Instagram, you know, essentially just saying that, you know, it's been the hardest 3 months of his life and has not been easy for him. But we got to stay positive even in these tough moments and just think of what is ahead of us. You know, thank you for all your nice messages. I'll come back stronger than ever, you know, prayers or whatever. So staying positive. He's a good kid, you know, which is what makes it's never nice, but especially knowing how hard he works and, you know, what a positive person he is. It's just, it's brutal, man. It absolutely sucks. It sucks for the team. It obviously really hurts their chances in the postseason. And it you know, it just sucks because at the end of the day, you just want this kid to A, be able to live his dream and play professional hockey, and B, just enjoy his quality of life, you know? So yeah, it's straight out fucking sucks. It stinks.
Yeah. And, you know, again, I don't know what the future will hold for him, but, you know, I think the New York Rangers posted something that, you know, he's focused on making his return next season. I would imagine sometime over the summer they're going to make an evaluation on whether or not he can continue to play the game. You know, I don't want to sit here and be Mr. Negative with him, but holy shit. I mean, I don't know, man. I like, concussions scare me. There's not enough research done. The long-term, you know, consequences of dealing with these things are brutal. We've seen it in every sport. You know, you just, everyone now knows what concussions do to you long term, and it's just, and he's such a young player, and I think the way he plays the game, and, you know, for him to be effective at this level, it's like you can't really, you know, hold back, and if you're playing timid, it's just, it's not going to be good. And I really don't know. I mean, obviously we'll, you know, stay positive, but at the same time, you know, this is a business, and, you know, the New York Rangers have to still remain focused on the ultimate goal, and that's getting to the playoffs and, you know, competing for a Stanley Cup. And, you know, I guess it's not really the elephant in the room, but, you know, I think every Ranger fan knew that this was definitely a possibility, and that, you know, Filip Hedl now comes off the books, and there's a lot of money there for the New York Rangers to make a move, and boy, do they ever need to make a move to, you know, jolt this team back on track. So, Andy, you know, it's not a silver lining because you lost the player, but
yeah,
you get money, and we know the Rangers need help, and this certainly will help us because, I mean, let's face it, we basically played now at least the second quarter of this season without Filip Hedl, so, you know, getting a player, either him or a player like him, back would be a huge, you know, help, you know, especially in terms of depth here. So are there any rumors, you know, anything floating around now that the New York Rangers might be able to target?
I mean, obviously the one name that keeps popping up has been Sean Monahan, but Larry Brooks did today basically throw a little bit of water on that, basically just for what it would cost. And you never know, because you know that Larry is, in a lot of ways, ends up being a mouthpiece for the organization. To, you know, organizations use beat writers and reports to try to drive prices or interest down, or, you know, to obfuscate, drive prices down or whatever. But he basically said something to the effect of, You know, the need for 3C is dire, but not dire enough for Drury to give up a number one or a blue chip prospect, let alone both, in a trade for Monahan or Henrique. Maybe not what folks want to hear, but there is nothing over the last 25 games that indicate that the team should go all in. Not that I necessarily disagree with him. More than anything, the Rangers need to muscle up for the playoffs, third and fourth lines. And off Saturday, yes, one game against a bad team, I'd give Mackey a run to see if he can fill the third pair spot on the left. What about Gustafson? Horses for courses. So, you know, Larry doesn't seem convinced that the Rangers have the appetite or nor should spend the, you know, first round pick on a, you know, a Sean Monahan type. You know what I mean? And honestly, I don't necessarily just disagree with him. I think if you're going to go to war with this group, I think you need to, you have your core. And yes, you Hedl going out frees up money. But, you know, if you're looking for one piece to hope that every other, you know, every other aspect of this team kind of falls into place, I just don't see it. I think you can get more like he did 2 years ago, where you get a cheaper player like Kopp, Vetrano, and Mott. Those three made more of a difference than getting Tarasenko and then Kane last year. You know what I mean? So, I think you, the good, like you said, obviously the Hedl stinks, the injury stinks, but there is money there now to, you could get, instead of like basically having to do what he did over the summer and maybe get one or two depth guys and that's it, he can maybe get three pretty okay, solid pieces. You can get a solid defenseman for potentially just in case of an injury or if someone's not cutting it. And you can get, you know, a third line center who maybe isn't out, you know, doesn't blow you off, you know, who at least has strong underlying numbers and can make sure that, you know, it that's at least an upgrade over whatever, you know, they have going on at the moment. You know what I mean? And then someone to bolster their fourth line. That's basically what they need. You need someone to get Brodzinski off this team. And you need, honestly, you probably need someone to get, because they're not going to get rid of Goodrow, someone to get Pitlick off this team. So that's kind of what they really need.
Looking for a super offer for Super Bowl 58? DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. New customers can bet on the big game and turn $5 into $200 instantly in bonus bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code THPN. New customers can bet $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 58 with code THPN. The crown is yours. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NEW-YORK or text HOPE-NEW-YORK 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for a gambling problem by calling 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/football for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
You know, it's nothing's changed since our last podcast, but you look at this team and you look at the makeup of this team, and I definitely agree with you. I don't know about getting another defenseman. I feel like you want to make this defense, you want to make it go a little bit. Why don't you like shore up our offense? Like, get a little bit more support. You know, let's get, you know, more depth up front and let's roll four lines. You know, I think a lot of it is that we're incapable of sustaining, you know, four lines of consistent pressure. And it's not like we have to play, you know, dominant hockey. Every four lines, you know, have to dominate. But, you know, for Christ's sake, like, it's one or two players every night and that's it. And it's the same fucking people. And, you know, you saw what happened in the Ottawa game. Now, granted, Ottawa is a very, very bad hockey team. Like, that's goal support. Like, what happened in Ottawa needs to happen consistently, 10 games in a row, you know, getting goal support, you know? And then I think that the pressure of the defense will lighten up a little bit. Cause right now, Miller stinks. You know, Trouba stinks. Yeah, and obviously he's suspended right now. But, you know, it just, you look at this team, it's like this decor is not meant to make things happen. They're meant to be a support system. And, you know, if the forwards are not all in and they're not, you know, pressuring the puck and not sustaining any pressure, then it starts to put pressure back on guys like Miller, Fox, Gustafson to play a little bit of offense. And that's not, we can't rely on that. We did that last year. It just doesn't work, you know, and we need the jolt up front to help relieve some of the pressure on the back end. So, yeah, I agree with you. We need to bring in depth players. You know, I guess the biggest question, Andy, you know, looking at, you know, cap friendly right now for the New York Rangers, you know, Barclay Gaudreau has a modified no trade clause. I mean, if we got that $3.6 million off the books, you know, you know, I don't know what team would like take him, because it's a certainly a modified no trade list. So it's 15 teams there. I would imagine he wouldn't be able to, or he wouldn't be picking teams like, you know, the San Jose Sharks and such and such. But having that, I'd be a little bit more confident going into the playoffs and the trade deadline if we got that, you know, that money also off the books and we were able to revamp the entire, you know, bottom six. But there's zero chance, right? They trade Barclay Gaudreau.
I mean, this year, yeah. In season, absolutely not. I mean, in the offseason, yeah, it could happen. Because in a lot of ways, it seems like if this group can't get it done, even with the Hedl injury, I don't really think that Jim Dolan cares so much or think that's a valid excuse. This team has to do something this year, make some waves this year. They, in a lot of ways, if they have to make it at least out of the first round this year. If it's a first round exit, I don't know. There's a good chance that Chris Drury is not the general manager anymore. Or at the very least, the edict is in that, well, then you got to get rid of this core.
Listen, we've said this. I don't believe in this core in the playoffs. I mean, listen, we also, you know, we got off to a really hot start, but like I said, you know, earlier, this, I feel like this is kind of who we are. Because Mika Zibanejad is not a 1C right now. He gets paid like it. He gets the playing time of it. But, you know, that's not a top line. That's not a Stanley Cup team, the top line on a Stanley Cup team. It's just not. And granted, it is our quote-unquote second line because we all know that, you know, Panarin, Trocheck, and Lafreniere is our top line, and they do play like it. But if we're going to get this play out of Kreider, Zibanejad, you know, Wheeler, you know, whoever they throw up there, Kako, we're in big trouble because we have one line and our second line does absolutely nothing. And that's including our, you know, star player, Mika Zibanejad. You know, it just can't be always what he can do on the power play. You know, he's got to get shit done on 5-on-5. And listen, if you're going to tie yourself to Kreider's hip, then you're going to have to do a lot of shit on your own. And I think Kreider is the biggest problem on that line. You know, even when Kako came back, I think, you know, Kreider just, he's not creative enough. He's not going to do a give and go. If you watch him, he does the same thing. He gets the puck along the boards and just throws it in any direction that he, you know, thinks, you know, will continue the play. And that's great if you want to cycle once or twice. But it's every single time. He's so predictable. And like everyone's like, well, no one hits him. No one goes after him. Yeah, because all you got to do is go to the boards. You shut down the two boards. He's never going to make a play towards the middle of the ice. So in my opinion, you know, Chris Kreider being attached to Zibanejad is the worst thing for Mika. And the fact that Wheeler and Kako are only two options and neither of them are, you know, outstanding, you know, offensive type players. Mika's fucked. Like, that's all I gotta say. Like, I just don't see a way out of this.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, when I look at the New York Rangers, I think the biggest problem I have with them concurrently is I don't know who they are, if that makes any sense. Like, the year they went to the first year under Gallant, they went to the Eastern Conference Final. I basically knew who they were. They were a team that they didn't get a lot of, yeah, like we definitely got on them for their they're soft, like wanting to play east west more than north south type hockey. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But it's arguably what they were all good at. It's what Panarin's the best at. It's what Zibanejad's good at. It's what Fox is arguably very good at. It's what Strome was good at, you know, and it's kind of the identity of the team was that was live and die by goaltending. Now it's like when I look at the Las Vegas Golden Knights, I know what they are. They're a big team with big D that are, you know, that play a smothering style defense. I know that the Vancouver Canucks and the New Jersey Devils are high flying offense teams, quick up the ice, quick in transition teams with some risk in their game. I just don't know what the New York Rangers are. I know I could say that for most of the other, like the content. Obviously, we know what the Hurricanes are. They clearly have an identity. They've been doing it for how many years now? But the New York Rangers, like the players they have and what their coach is trying to do, it just seems like, and this is not the fault of Peter Laviolette, because I think it's what the Rangers should be doing. But just so many times, it literally seems like a skin graft that won't take in terms of looking at the performance of Zibanejad and Kreider this year. It's worked out really well for, like you said, our actual first line, the Panarin, Lafreniere, Trocheck line. And, you know, kudos to all three of those guys. You know, Trocheck had a fine year in his first year as a Ranger, but he's having an outstanding year this year. Lafreniere finally takes a step. Kudos to him. And Panarin, lots of credit to him. He changes his game and he's attacking and shooting more. So he bought in. But has Kreider and Zibanejad done anything different than they've ever done? No, it's just there had to be an adjustment on their end to play the way Laviolette wants to play. And it's just not. They just kind of look a little bit more lost. And I think the sad thing is when I watch Zibanejad, you know, it looks like he's trying. I see him try to get back and play good defense and support, but it's just, yeah, I don't know, man. It's just a lot of confusion. It just seems like this team, I just don't sense buy-in up and down the entire roster.
Well, let me ask you this. We're, you know, instead of pointing out the problem, let's think of a solution. What type of player could, you know, we put on that line as a line two right winger to put on that line to get the best out of both of those guys? You know, is there a player out there that like you would love to see play with those two?
Yeah, there's a guy in St. Louis who's a really good right winger. I know I made that joke the other day, but yeah, I mean, you know, I don't understand why Jimmy Vesey hasn't gotten a bigger look up there yet. It seems like Laviolette is not the biggest VC guy, which I don't really understand. You think he would, because Gerard Gallant could not wait to get Jimmy VC up in the lineup.
Yeah.
Couldn't wait. But yeah.
Well, it's just like, wouldn't you look like the hero if Jimmy VC was the answer?
Yeah.
Like, all right, you look at the team, you look how they're playing. Kako wasn't it. You know, Wheeler's clearly not it. Give Jimmy VC a chance. The only reason I feel like he won't put him there is to put Drury in a bad spot of, you know, we clearly need to upgrade in that. We have a guy, Jimmy VC, playing, you know, top line on our first line playing the right wing. But like, that's like not a, you know, I can see how it can be construed as like negative, but like, it's not a negative thing. Like, the kid deserves a chance up there because nobody else is, you know, taking that spot and run with it. So, you know, give him a chance. You know, maybe you catch lightning in a bottle and, you know, that line catches fire for four games. Yeah. You know, then you walk away with 8 points. And, you know, if it fizzles out, it fizzles out. Who cares? It's Jimmy VC. You drop him back down to the bottom six. I'd be trying everything right now just to, you know, make it work. But yeah, I don't get it. You know, I the only solution I have right now that I'm pretty on board with mentally, you know, I obviously things change. I read one tweet and my whole, my whole outlook, you know, changes immediately. Is the team that we played last night is a bad team. They're gonna trade players. there's a guy on that team, Tarasenko, who doesn't make a whole ton of money. He can play the right wing. You can throw him on that spot. You know, you have then Kreider, Zibanejad, Tarasenko. Your second line, obviously, is Panarin, Vinny, and Lafreniere. Your third line, because you're going to get another player from that team, Shane Pinto. And you're going to have Will Cooley on the left side, Shane Pinto, who is a 6'3", 200-pound center from New York, who would be ecstatic to go play for the New York Rangers. And on the right-hand side, you have Kaapo Kakko. All right? And then your fourth line, you're looking at VC, Gaudreau, and Wheeler. And that knocks Pitlick out. That knocks Brzezinski out. And, you know, I think away we go. Obviously, defense stays the same. Goaltending stays the same. Now, you're saying, James, what are you going to have to give up? Yeah, you're going to have to give up a lot. You know, Shane Pinto was a late first-round draft pick for the Ottawa Senators. But, you know, heaven forbid Hedl never comes back, that kid is going to be your, you know, center for the next decade, hopefully. So you're going to have to give something up, you know, and we're loaded on the left-hand side because we're never going to get rid of fucking Kreider. Panarin is signed for the next, you know, 3 years. And then you have, you know, I guess Lafreniere moved to the right side, but right now you have, you know, Panarin, Kreider, and Will Cooley all able to play the left-hand side. We're loaded there. Give him Othman. I know that's probably controversial for some people because he's got a little bit of swagger, but the kid, let's just face it, it's going to be tough making this lineup, you know, especially after, you know, the way Will Cooley has played this year. So unless you're just happy with him on the fourth line, but you send that out, you send your first round pick, and you're going to probably have to trade, you know, a Zachary Jones or something like that. That, I think, might be able to get it done. And it might be another, you know, low-level prospect too, or another mid pick. So, Andy, you know, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, Pinto honestly makes a lot of sense, at least for the timeline of this team, because...
And for those of you who don't know, Shane Pinto, if you look on his, his bio and his recent games, he doesn't have many because he was the one that was suspended for the gambling situation. So
yeah, 41 games.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like you said, James, I think the way things have gone in the last month and a half have really, because at first it was like, look, this is the best chance. The Rangers were top the league and it's like, all right, this is your time. You take your shot. Who cares? You get the old guy. You don't care what you pay for him. But I think you have to be a little bit more forward looking with this group now, because there's a lot of, if Drury thinks that the next move, that if he's not the next one out the door, and if he gets to at least try to change the core around, then all of a sudden Pinto is a much more attractive piece. You know what I mean? Someone you're hoping that can maybe, you know, he's 23 years old now. It's hard to tell what he can become, but at least, at the very least, you hope he can become a second line center for your team. It still doesn't, you know, maybe he does have first line upside or first line center upside. It's just, you know, at 23 years of age, I think at the very least you would start to get an inkling if that was the case. But but that being said, it's like you start kind of having to think about the future of this team without Zibanejad and Kreider and Trouba, and you know what I mean? So when players like Fox and Lafreniere are going to have to be the ones, you know, Panarin will still be around probably, but like old man Panarin driving the bus, you know what I mean? So, yeah, but at least as it relates to for the playoffs in season, it's tough. I don't know if Ottawa necessarily wants to have that conversation in season, especially if they want to, like, teams are, excuse me, goddamn, sorry, bad cough recently. You know, I think if they want to, I think they might want to do this at the draft where they can get more of a haul instead of just teams that are very, because I think teams this time of year are looking for immediate help. And Pinto is more of a future piece, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? You're kind of paying for what he will be, not what he is right now. So, But I mean, yes, that would be a very shrewd move because he does at least give you some help right now in your lineup. And you also, but you know, I think you might have to pay a little bit. You'd probably really have to blow Otto away with an offer to make that happen right now.
Yeah. Again, we'll see. I don't know. I don't know what it would take, but at the same time, there's not many good answers because I do think you need a top line right winger. I do think you need a third line center, and I would like to get another piece on the fourth line. I don't think I necessarily would touch the defense. I mean, yeah. It is what it is at this point. I don't think you're going to get that big of an upgrade. I just think you're going to end up paying more money for what you already have. You know, unless you told me that you're comfortable trading Ryan Lindgren, but I just don't think, I think that would just destroy this team losing a guy like that. So, because he's the only one that you could move that makes a little bit of money, unless you moved a Braden Schneider. But he's 22 years old, making $925,000, and he's a restricted free agent, and he's not going to make much more. So, yeah, I don't know. And then you know your seventh defenseman, you know, Zachary Jones. I think he's a good trade piece. You know, again, a left defenseman. I don't know what the future hit because he's such a small player, and you know, I don't know. He never really had a full shot here, but.
Had a hell of a game the other day.
He did have a hell of a game. Well, now's the time to fucking move him. But, yeah, again, I don't know. I don't know what the future holds. So, you got me thinking, Andy. So I wanted to follow up with this question. Because you think that there's a lot of pressure on Drury, do you think he just goes all out, you know, gets rid of the first round pick, gets rid of some of these prospects to really bolster this team?
I think if he does that, which I don't think he's going to do, I think if he's going to do that, it's not going to be Sean Monahan, if that makes any sense. It'll definitely be, I did see, I think in Calgary, they kind of put the Elias Lindholm rumors to bed. I thought I saw that. So, if he was to take a big swing, he would take it. You know, I feel like Gensel is a big swing, would be a big swing for him. Who knows? Maybe he comes out of left field and goes after Chychrun or Hanifin to like, you know, cause you say, oh, you're not going to, you know, fuck with the decor, but you love Braden Schneider, but obviously you give Braden Schneider up in a deal for Hanifin or Chychrun if that's the route you want to go, you know?
Right.
So that would really bolster this team's back end. And honestly, that fits Peter Laviolette's play style more. It's more about moving the puck from, you know, offense starts in the back end with your defenseman. And I think players like Hanifin and Chychrun kind of match his edict, Peter Laviolette's system, that more of that Nashville classic, you know, style anyway. Right. So, honestly, that's kind of more of the big swing I could see.
Yeah, it's tough, man. Another team, too, I'm curious, like, if they'd be willing to move some of their younger pieces is a team like Buffalo. You know, Casey Mittelstadt's having a good season. He can play center. You know, they got a bunch of, you know, young pieces. I don't know what they'd be willing to move from, you know, because they God, like you look at this team, that fucking Jeff Skinner contract's going to haunt them. It just every time we look at it, it gets scarier and scarier. It's $9 million for the next four seasons or three seasons after this. So, yeah. Do you think, you know, Buffalo kind of makes some moves, maybe gathers more picks and keeps, you know, kind of retooling a little bit? Because this year was supposed to be a step forward, and I feel like they did not take it. So what are your thoughts on a team like Buffalo moving some pieces?
It's tough because
not just New York Rangers, but it can be anybody.
Yeah, I think it's tough because I think if Buffalo's making a move, it's like you said, it's looking to next season. Don't want to move on from a player in their young core right now. Yeah, I mean, obviously, like you said, the Skinner contract haunts them. Although Okposo is their captain, I think the contracts of the older guys, your Okposos, your Skinners, your Olufsens are kind of the ones they would probably be looking to eventually get out from. Is Zemgus Girgensen still there? I don't even know, but I assume he is, right?
Yeah.
So I assume those are the type of players they would try to look on, I mean, or move on from. But yeah, I guess it's interesting. I think it's, you look at some of these teams and you hear rumors about, you know, they, some of the teams that have who literally have been like Anaheim, like Buffalo, like, you know, the Arizona Coyotes, who've just been drafting first round picks for a decade. It's like, well, yeah, they can't all, they don't have a spot in the roster for all of them. They all didn't pan out, but some are still pretty good, but just, you can't, there's a logjam there. So for the Rangers, kind of finding a team that could, it's like, hey, we are comfortable with the amount of D in our depth in our organization, but we have no centers. You have a lot of centers. You don't have a lot of D. It's like, can we get something done here? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So to that end, yeah, maybe if they're like, you know what, Mittelstadt, as good as the season he's having, we ultimately have two guys we think Quinn and, you know, whoever else will, or you know, Tage Thompson, we're just happier with that. We, you know what I mean? It's just like, we cannot pay Casey this much money just because it's going to eat up money that Owen Power is going to get, and, you know, whatever, or Dahlin already makes this much. So, so maybe on that end, there is a deal to be made, but, I just think Chris Drury is old school, and I don't think he's going to get much younger. If he gets someone there, I think they're going to be a minimum 23 years old, at least.
Okay. Well, I was going to throw one more hypothetical at you.
Oh, I love it. Let's go hear it.
You mentioned his name, Pavel Buchnevich. He's got 2 years on his contract. He's 28.
I would love it, but
why not? What are the Blues building towards? They're not a Stanley Cup contender. They're barely a team.
How old is Buchnevich now?
He's 28. He's got 2 years. He's got this year and next year at $5.8 million.
Listen, if the deal's to, honestly, he's the only player I want. If I'm being honest, it's like, you know what? Let him, if there's any wrestling fans out there, like Cody Rhodes, like let the Rangers finish this story. If they're going to finish the story, let them finish the story. Bring Buchnevich home.
Could you imagine the jolt of energy they'd get with Pavel Buchnevich?
I think it would be a
huge. Would you give up the first for him?
Honestly,
and they retain some salary this year?
I would. Because this is it, honestly, for this core. This is it. I don't have faith in them, but if this is going to be it for them, I can at least say, all right, you get the first round pick. But only for Pavel Buchnevich. If it's not Pavel Buchnevich, you don't get it. I'm keeping it in a locked case. And if you, unless you say we want to bring in Pavel Buchnevich, I'm swallowing the key. But I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, he's playing so good for them. I think he definitely, if he was available, you'd have to give up a lot to get him. You know, you're giving up. Honestly, Kaapo Kakko's going the other way.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, you know.
I think they take picks and prospects for sure.
Yeah. I'd give up Othman for him, definitely. But.
Oh, without a doubt.
Listen, I love Othman, too.
I don't even really like Othman that much, but
under no circumstance, my only thing is you cannot give up Perreault under any circumstances.
Yeah, no.
The weekend that fucking kid just had, yeah, you cannot touch him. But Othman, it would be a tough pill to swallow because
would you trade a first and Othman for him? And
hell
they
yeah.
Retained half his, you would?
Hell yeah, I would.
Okay.
For Buchnevich, hell yeah, I would.
Okay.
And then. Then what you see what you can finally, if you can make it work. I mean,
Sammy,
you know, what?
Throwing Sammy Blais too, might as well, right?
I mean, I made a joke earlier about like a skin graft that wouldn't take. It was kind of New York and Sammy Blais was the same way. But the second he got back to St. Louis, he turned back apparently to a good player. So, I mean, listen, all I'm saying is Minnesota, well, where is Minnesota? Are they in a playoff spot right now?
No, I think they fell out. Hold on. I can look right now for you. Minnesota's out right now. They are currently 7 points out. Yeah, not looking good.
Well, I mean, are they looking to get out? I don't know what Zuccarello's contract is. Are they looking to get out from that?
Don't tease me with Zoop, because that's like, I think that's pulling.
Can you imagine, if you brought Buchnevich and Zoop back at the same time, like,
Jesus,
if you want to talk, if you want to talk about like giving the team a jolt, like that would do it, I think.
Listen, if you told me you sold the farm, you got rid of pretty much everyone except Perot, and you got Zook, because Zook next year in 24-25 only makes 4.1. Imagine bringing in Zook, and I don't even know how you would even put both of them. Like,
you couldn't fit it. You'd have to have a lot of salary out. But yeah, I mean
Zook, they retain 50%. That would be $3 million. 50% for Booch is 2.4 million, I think. 2.8 million. I don't know.
Well, all right. So my dream scenario for me here. This is not happening. You attach a second round pick. For future considerations, you give the San Jose Sharks a second round pick to take Barkley Goodrow off your hands.
Okay.
That now you've freed up what, 3.5 million?
Yeah. 3.6.
Now you have between 3.6 million. Oh, Jesus Christ. Between 3.6 million and what Hedl makes, 4.3 or something like that.
Yeah.
So you have like $7.5 million to somehow make Buchnevich and Zook fit.
You can easily do it with 50% retained.
Yeah. Well, I mean, how many slots? The team gets 3 50% slots, right? Is that the deal?
I think so. Yeah. And then, I mean, next year, obviously going into next year, you can say goodbye to Lindgren.
Yeah, I mean, I think this year has kind of shown me, I think Lindgren's probably gone next year. It just kind of feels like it.
But that's $3 million off the books. You know,
but
I'm in love with Kako. You can probably get rid of him. You know, well, unless he really shows you something.
The good thing about the Rangers is that Hartford does have a litany of like bottom. The one thing this organization finally has, which it's never had, is like basically they have a litany of bottom pairing D and fourth line or second step up. Literally, they have guys chomping on the bit to make the Rangers fourth line.
Yeah.
Between Edstrom, who was amazing, we haven't seen since his one good game, his really good game, and his one okay whatever game. You know, Edstrom and Rempe and Belzeal and Adam Sikora and Brett Berard and like all these guys who could probably make the Rangers in a bottom six capacity within the next two seasons. So luckily you don't have to worry about it there, which is why it's crazy that you're paying a guy in your bottom six and Barkley Goodrow the amount of money you're paying. But that's a lesson, I guess, learned for Drury. But but yeah, I mean, as far as the Rangers go, I think realistically Drury is going to do what his strength is and is just going to essentially, instead of go for the one guy, which bit him last year when he did that, and he's going to revert to what he did the previous year and had success and just kind of key in on three guys to help basically strengthen the borders of the lineup. And hope that has like a bigger effects, which I think it will, honestly. So if I'm Chris Drury, that's what I'm doing. But in my heart of hearts, yes, I wish he somehow found money to bring Zook and Buchnevich back. Because like I said, you want to talk about identity of the team. It's like, that's what, you know, that's kind of, those are the two players I think would cause the biggest jolt. And, you know, which is funny because it causes a bigger jolt than bringing on arguably a better player. Because there's familiarity and good vibes and all those other things that this Rangers team seems to really like. They love hugging each other after scoring and, you know, I don't know. It's like, yeah, I guess that would be great. But, you know, Buchnevich would be a pipe dream for me, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I feel like we should wrap it up with that type of dream, because it's not, the podcast can only go downhill from there. So
it was all a dream.
Do you have any final words going into the All-Star break?
No, just honestly, I'm sick of the Rangers right now. I don't need to see them for a while. So I get a week off from them, which is nice. I'm probably not going to watch the All-Star game. I don't really care to. So what, we have the Avalanche on home. a week from tomorrow for Monday.
It's not good. Yeah, we have the Avalanche on Monday, February 5th. Then home against the Lightning. And then on the road against the Chicago Blackhawks.
Okay, it's not so bad. Then we have some home games. And, Stan Stadium series on the 18th. So,
yep.
February looks like a tough month for the Rangers. Schedule's not great.
Not good.
You know, you could have just not lost to so many shitty opponents recently that this would have been better, but whatever. It doesn't really matter. Like the Rangers, I have a sneaking suspicion they will be slightly better coming back from the break. I don't think they'll be like all their problems will be solved and fixed, but I think at the very least they could use the reset and they can kind of use it. You got to hope that that you can only go up for after the poor January they had, you know, because even if they're just slightly better, considering where they made it essentially halfway into the season in first place in their division, you know, as it's been so bad for them. And yet it's a blessing that somehow that everyone else in their division is so incompetent that they couldn't overtake them. So, I guess a blessing in disguise. God, the Rangers need this break. God, I need this break from the New York Rangers.
Thank you for listening to the Broadway Voice Podcast. Be sure to follow us on X at Broadway Voice Pod, and please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, SoundCloud, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.